Jerry Pepin, and we're here at the International UFO Museum and Research Center. And Daryl Sims, the alien hunter, one of our favorite guests of all times, been on our show several times. Daryl, you've been really busy with a lot of seminars.
Yes, I have. In fact, I'll be in 3 weeks just in England this October, and I'll also, they're trying to get me to go to Italy from there as well. So we'll be doing that. I've got also some conferences in Washington and back out in California again.
I know we have a link to your website, and you have all that posted.
It's all posted, and everyone can see anything they want there. If they need to contact me about their physical evidence or any events that they've seen, they can just scroll down from www.alienhunter.org and scroll down to it says Alien Hunter. Click on that, and you get an automatic email to me, and I do answer my emails.
Now, you still find new people almost weekly from the last conversation I talked to you that had some incredible experiences about these implants. I mean, I always thought that was rare, but maybe it's not.
The fact is that the implant phenomenon, in my opinion, is quite rare. The reason we're finding more and more possibilities of this is because more and more people we're getting out there, thanks to your program, is a good example, because you're probably one of the most well listen to programs and well thought about programs that we know about, because people mention you all the time. So the bottom line is that these people seem to be paying attention, and they're calling us or writing us, emailing us, and sending x-rays and things that just absolutely show some viable objects in these areas.
You just haven't really figured out what it's all about yet, though, huh? I mean, is it a tracking device or what?
Well, the implants, as I've mentioned in some time ago, and some things I've not mentioned, is exactly what I think that they are. They are not a tracking device. They are not a transponder. The fact is that most abductees do not, in fact, have any implantation whatsoever. And the fact is that most of these abductees don't have implants. How do the alien presence find them anyway? I suspect they find them with a neural scan or something to that effect, because the entities would seem to find you regardless, even before. How did they find you the first time? You didn't have an implant then. So they're finding you some other way.
Interesting point. You've had more encounters in your home, I think, with aliens than many people have traveling the world. How do you account for that?
Good question, Jerry. Thanks for bringing up that painful moment. You caught me right here on tape. We've had a number of experiences inside our own home. My events ended violently in 1965 when I was 17. Not had any events since. However, some relatives of mine have. And
last time I had you on, you were talking about a lady, I think, from another country.
That's correct. It's a relative of mine, and Lord have mercy. You bring this up. She had an event in which my wife and I were having lunch. I told my wife, grab the food, let's go right now. And she was startled. We threw all the food in the sack, and we ran off, left our set-down lunch. Ran back to the house as fast as we could. We zoomed in, and I opened the door, and there's the lady that's visiting with us, with blood caked all over the side of her neck, wandering around the house, bumping into walls, crying incoherently, and an implant had just been removed from her ear.
Well, the reason I bring this up is because you call yourself the alien hunter, and the reason is because you don't think these guys are very nice, most of them. And that story kind of demonstrates.
Well, the fact is, it seems to be familial or within the family lineage, and with those that seem to marry into the family, is another example. I couldn't agree more. Anyone that should steal anyone's children out of their home in the middle of the night, or their women out of their home in the middle of the night, do the unspeakable things that they've done, in my opinion, are the night stalkers, and ought to be held accountable for it. And one of these days, perhaps we'll be fortunate enough to capture one of them.
Have you got close to that?
Why did I think that you would ask that question? We have several scientists that are helping us who actually want to assist us in help catching an alien entity. They feel like, as I do, that in fact, if it's cosmically correct for them to abduct us, turnabout ought to be fair play. So one of our next projects is to get the tech together and see if we can't catch one of these little critters ourselves.
You going to keep us abreast of this, I hope.
You'll always be the first one to know first. You're always on top of things, so you'll be the first one to know about it when it happens.
Now, you don't really have an idea about these aliens, really, where they're from or anything.
We only have certain possibilities that suggested by the abductees. The aliens smell like sulfur. This is often reported, or they smell like rotten leather, moldy leather, or decayed cardboard. I mean, the sulfur is the big one that people often mention, and sometimes they'll smell on their carpet where the entities walk. They smell like sulfur. The only sulfur I know that smells like that would probably be inside the earth, and if that were true, it might give a hint where they're coming from.
Well, it's kind of interesting you would mention that. Here we are in New Mexico, full of caverns. And supposedly underground bases.
That's what they tell me. So who knows? I think it's fascinating that we're here in Alamogordo. Here, I lived in Alamogordo for 13 years, so this is my native territory. So this is my alma mater, I guess, of alien abductions.
Well, it's been a lot of activity in New Mexico over the years, that's for sure. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, I actually think it's in other places as well, but the fact is Roswell gets a lot more credit because there's something incredible happened here that the government covered up three times, told three different lies about, and I'm waiting for the next lie. I hope it's better than the other three because they're just whoppers, you know. I mean, let's get something original, something that really works this time.
Yeah, the thing about the crash dummies, that story fell apart pretty quickly.
It certainly did, especially when the commander of the project, a lieutenant colonel, I believe, came on the internet and said, why is the government lying about this? Roswell happened in 1947, that event. He said, our event, and I was the commander of it. He said, that event didn't start until 1953. So how'd they get Roswell? The dummies that we used, they were 200 pounds, 6 foot tall, out there to shrink and get small and land in Roswell in 1947. So that's kind of a trick.
Yeah, you mentioned the dummies and the small ETs and things. What seems to be the most prevalent description of extraterrestrials and the people doing the abductions or the beings or whatever we want to call them? I mean, are they a little small or are they middle or are they big guys? I mean, I've even heard stories about that the Nordic types seem to be coming to the front.
You're exactly right. There is a hierarchy that exists in the UFO phenomenon. The little grays that people often mention are actually, in my opinion, have an IQ about 80 or 90 degrees, 90 on an IQ chart. And the reason I say that is because they often make mistakes. They're not very intelligent. And as long as you're cooperative and do what you're told, they do their job well. But they make mistakes and put people in wrong locations. They often drop you off. We have people in the wrong bed when they wake up or on the couch. Some of them wake up outside their home and the house is locked with a double tumbler lock, which means you got a key to have a key to get in and out, and the keys are inside the house. Some people wake up on the wrong freeway when they're driving. Some people we even have two people, and demonstrably woke up in the wrong state.
You know, you are one of the big advocates about not going along with the program. And when you say you stand up to these little guys, they don't know what to do.
That's true. They often will make mistakes because they have in my opinion, they're like a 286 computer with legs. They're not very intelligent. Their job is just basically pick you up and get you back, do whatever it is, the basic stuff. If you make mistakes or you decide to rebel, you may find that you have all kinds of physical evidence if you'll just pay attention to what you're doing.
Now, you came up with a black light theory out of the blue, I guess.
The black light is simply a system that shows that if entities have touched you and left they leave a physical trace, for lack of a better term, sweat might be the illustration, but they leave a physical trace on you, and that trace will remain for about 24 hours, some rarely up to 2 weeks. If you can use the black light, you can see the physical movement, the physical touching of an entity on you.
So they smell like sulfur, and they glow in the dark.
They glow in the dark if you got a black light. If you don't, you can't see them, because I think they see in the invisible range of infrared, ultraviolet, and the visible range, so they see the whole range. That's why people have not been able to film them in many cases. When they think they may be abducted, they set a camera up, and they wake up and in the morning, and the camera's been turned off. These entities can see in the infrared range, and they can see sensors or anything else on your camera equipment on. They can spot it for a mile.
A lot of people say the little ones, the little grays, for lack of a better term, ones we're talking about, the 80, 90 IQs, some of them even doubt that they're human. They might be human.
Well, the fact is that one of their
species is.
One of our abductees wanted to defend herself, and she was crying, said, "They're going to get my children. They told me so." And so I said, "Okay, I'll help you out." I gave her a post-hypnotic suggestion. She actually assaulted her captor and tore his eye cup off, and underneath it she describes something you might see in an ER with a, you know, when you see when someone is flatlining in the death or something like that, they have these little lines running across his eye. They were there, and I think it's either five or six different lines running across the red stippled screen after she ripped the black eye cup off.
Some sort of cyber misfit or
some kind of cyber misfit's the right word. Organism might be another term, but I like the word misfit real well. Here's a nice tidbit for your audience. If you'll type in the word L-BAZ, you'll find that's one of the top NASA geologist scientists. And in there, if you'll read, you're going to read through thousands of papers, but in there, you'll find he's an outspoken critic, but an outspoken person who just simply reveals information about what they found on the moon. Look at the stuff that they found on the moon and what he said about it, because he's a NASA geologist for that Apollo team. And he says there were spires found on top of on the moon several times taller than the Empire State Building, and there were a lot of them. Just type it in and see what you find. Well, today I'll be doing a workshop, in fact, just a few minutes, on memory retrieval and how to determine whether people are lying or telling the truth.
And what is your experience with your investigation of the abductees? How many are telling the truth? How many aren't?
Many of the abductees, in fact, were telling the truth. The few that we found, the people that I've interviewed that weren't telling the truth were the people who are trying to hoodwink, people who are just flat made it up, and there are others who are just flat hallucinating. There's a difference.
How much of this do you think is government involved? I mean, you had experience with the CIA. We talked about the black helicopters before and the cattle mutilations, and probably that's the people investigating the original mutilations. How much of it do you think is government-inspired? How much?
I want to thank you for the opening for my book interview that you just unexpectedly opened for me. I'm almost finished with the book on fluorescence, and it will describe the intelligence area's response and how they're connected with the DSP satellite system. That's the satellite that you see on the enemy of the state, that sort of thing. And how that affects and goes along with UFO phenomena, how it proves our point to be true, and how even the DSP satellite can see cattle that have been pre-marked by fluorescence before they're even mutilated.
Interesting. I look forward to that book. Now, what new tape do you have out?
The new tape I've got out, it has to do with the military intelligence cover-up on UFO abductions. They're all on my website, how to determine if you're it's called The Truth of Hypnosis, now to determine if you're really an alien abductee. The best evidence, which has a massive amount of evidence. It's never been seen anywhere on TV or anywhere else.
I always ask you about your tapes because you always have some very interesting. In fact, you had a story the other night here in Roswell about a major television production company just gave you an interview after you finished, and they gave you the whole tape.
That's exactly correct, and it was The X-Files. The X-Files actually did an interview with me, and they have given me permission to go ahead and to use it. But what I would like to do, and we feel like that, and some of their people do, that we'll get full permission to go ahead and use our entire interview. It is just amazing, and I take the X-Files to task, I promise you. And they are very kind and generous and decent, and mentioned some wonderful things about the way we do our research. They were very impressed.
Well, they came to you to get you to do research for them, right?
Well, they actually came originally to get me to do a promo for the trailer for the movie X-Files. They said if there really is a Mulder out there, it's you, because you're ex-CIA or ex-military police officer, senior Korean police officer, hypnotic anesthesia therapist, and you're a licensed private investigator, a process server, so, you know, my God, it's got to be you. And so I said, well, thanks for the stroking, but that's not the reason I would be interested. I said, only if I can tell what I know to be truth will I do it, because the truth is not out there. It's going to be sitting in front of you. And they agreed.
I'm going to let you get back to the people here. We have probably 20 or 30 people waiting to talk to you.
I appreciate it. And, Jerry, you're good people, and I appreciate the work that you're doing. You're really doing an outstanding job in letting people know what's really going on.
Be checking our UFO files section on our website, because the Daryl Sims section will be coming up soon, the Alien Hunter, and we'll keep everybody on as much as we can. You're pretty a secretive fellow, but you occasionally let us...
I'll tell one of my big secrets. Dr. Pepper's the breakfast of champions, and we do love it.
Thank you very much, Daryl Sims, the alien hunter. Thank you.